We will be in the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 12 later on. Now, it's going to be a few minutes before we get there, but if you want to stick your finger in there or tap on your phone or device. Now, if you don't have one of those, grab one of those blue pew Bibles, and you can turn to page 999. That's easy to remember. 999, and that will get you to 2 Corinthians chapter 12. All right, I have a question to start. You can raise your hand if you want, but I expect that no one's going to raise their hand. How many of you enjoy pain, physical pain particularly? How many just love it? Oh, I broke my leg. That's just great, right? We don't like physical pain. It's not much fun at all. I'm starting a new sermon series today. It's going to be today, next week, and the week after. And it's called Pain Hurts, God Heals. Pain hurts, God heals. And it's in three parts because there are different types of pain. It's not only physical pain, which is what I'll be covering today. Pain can be physical, yes. There is spiritual pain, that'll be next week. And then there is emotional or mental pain. That's one of the things that we don't like to talk about, or you know, our prayer requests are kind of about the physical things, and we don't talk about our emotional and mental needs, and when that goes awry, when the brain isn't working right. So here's some people, I'll show you some examples of some people that either are in pain or are about to experience physical pain. So let's bring the first one up. You wake up with a backache. You didn't have it before. Now, some of you younger ones, you have a backache, your knee hurts, it's going to go away, right? You get to a certain age, and when you feel a new pain, it's, well, I'm going to be living with that one the rest of my life. Some of you know what I'm talking about. It's just going to be there. All right, maybe you have the kind of pain about to hit the ground from falling from a skateboard kind of pain. That guy's about to experience the effects of gravity and the pain that goes with it. How about, I know some of you have experienced this one. You've been gored by a bull, and you fly up in the air and hit the ground, right? That happens all the time. I hate it when it happens. How about this one? A baseball hits you square on the nose pain. That is not Photoshop. Let's bring a close-up of that. That's not Photoshop. That guy took a baseball right on the nose. I don't know what happened afterwards, but how about, this is a tough one to look at. You're running in a race and your leg breaks in the race. I know. I don't even like looking at that. All right. Finally, it's, you know, the pain that you feel when Mo and Larry put you in a grip, a vice grip or whatever that thing is, that's pain as well. So pain hurts, God heals. Pain, physical pain, is both a gift and a teacher given to us by God. And I saw an article, I'm not going to bring it up today, but I saw an article about people that don't sense pain and how horrible that is for their lives. And, you know, you touch the stove and you don't know anything's going on, or you fall down and pain is telling you something in your life. And it is just horrible if you can't feel pain. My cousin Kathy, when I was, 7, 8 years old, she decided to be real funny to tell us, to some of the younger ones, I was one of them, lick her fingers and stick them in a wall outlet. I learned a new lesson that day. Actually, I learned two lessons. Do not put your fingers in the wall outlet, and do not trust Cousin Kathy anymore. And I never did. But then you have chronic and debilitating pain, pain that doesn't go away. And it's not really telling you something to learn, but it's just there. And those of us that are older know more about that. And some of you are living with that now. You don't have to be older to experience that. Some people in their younger years have ongoing pain because of an injury or something else. I've not had a lot of that in my life, but I understand at some level. Many of you know I had neck surgery earlier this year, and the only time my neck never hurts is when I'm doing this. I don't know if it's adrenaline or what, but it's not fixed yet. You know, they did a big job on it, and it's not all the way gone yet. So I get it, some, but many of you, and you know others, that are dealing with pain that's far more worse than some neck pain. And sometimes, and I've seen this enough to know it's true, sometimes God heals pain instantly or as a result of prayer later on, but God heals the pain with no intervention. And then sometimes God heals through medical professionals. It's still Him. He's the one healing. Both of those are valid healings from God, and He should get the glory. But sometimes no healing comes. And some of you know exactly what that means, or you've experienced it. You've had people praying for you. You've gone to doctors. You've taken some medicine. Maybe you've had a surgery or two, and then some more prayer after that. Maybe you've had people lay hands on you and pray. And yet the pain remains. It doesn't go away. And in fact, sometimes it's getting worse. And it's easy to get depressed when you deal with pain on an ongoing basis. If you haven't, think about if you've been sick for a long time. If you're sick more than about 3 days, about the fourth or fifth day, if you're still sick, you kind of forget what it felt like to feel normal. You think, I'm just going to be sick the rest of my life. It's kind of like that. And it's really easy to get discouraged, get depressed about chronic long-term pain. My mom also has neck issues, but because of osteoporosis, she's 85 years old, she is not able to have any surgery that could possibly help her because her bones would just disintegrate when they try to put screws in it. So she's just got to live with it for the rest of her life. So let's get really honest here this morning. Be honest with yourself. Be honest with what you think. If you believe in a God that can heal you anytime He wants to, whether it's miraculous healings or through a doctor or whatever it is, if you believe in a God that can heal you when He wants to, I believe that, then why does He not heal sometimes? He doesn't always heal. Why doesn't He? Wouldn't it be better if we were all healed of our physical pain? We could do more things for the kingdom and our families and so forth. So why doesn't He heal? It's a valid question. And if you've asked that question, it doesn't make you any less of a believer. It doesn't make you unspiritual. It's a question. So why doesn't He? Well, could it be that God has a purpose in allowing your pain to remain? He hasn't taken it away. Can suffering not only happen and not be healed, but could there be a divine reason, a purpose that God has behind it? And I think the answer to that, I've kind of made peace with this answer, no matter how hard it may be to accept, I think the answer is yes. I think sometimes He leaves it in our lives because He has another purpose that we may or may not ever figure out. And I don't think it's God being cruel. I don't think it's a lack of prayer or anything like that. It doesn't say that, oh, he loves some of His children more than others and they prayed more or something like that. I don't believe that. And before we get to the 2 Corinthians verses, and I promise we will, I want to look at part of one verse in 1 Peter chapter 4, just the first part of the verse. I'm using the New Living Translation today. And here's what it says. Since Christ suffered physical pain, you must arm yourselves with the same attitude He had and be ready to suffer too. That's a hard verse, tough verse to accept. But we read the Bible, the whole thing, we read the Bible, we do what it says, and we have to accept this as part of God's truth. We can't skip over the hard verses. Peter is telling us, if you are a follower of Christ, you need to be willing to go through suffering as Jesus was willing to go through suffering. That doesn't mean it's guaranteed you're going to suffer in some way, but if suffering comes your way, you need to have the attitude, Christ suffered and I'll suffer too. And by the way, Peter is a guy who did not have it easy. He went on after Jesus ascended into heaven. He became an apostle. He helped with churches. He taught, spread the gospel all over the place. And I don't know if you know this. This is not in the Bible, so I can't preach it as absolute truth. But very strong tradition says that Peter was crucified like Jesus was. Except Peter thought that he was not worthy to be crucified like Jesus. So he asked the people to crucify Him upside down. So it's not like Peter's sitting around in a classroom or an office writing this stuff. He lived some suffering, experienced suffering. And many believers around the world suffer. Some are tortured, some are jailed, some are killed because they share the gospel, or they own a Bible and somebody catches them with it. So this is not conceptual. It's really happening in the world, and it has for the entirety of history as soon as the church was founded, it started. Now, in the United States, we live in freedom from that. Nobody's, at least today, going to bust into the church and take all our Bibles and arrest me or some of us. But what if that changed? Now, if you know me well enough, you know I'm not a predictor. I don't preach fear. I don't live in fear. I don't think about that. And I don't believe in conspiracy theories. But there's no guarantee that we'll always have the freedoms that we have now. I hope that we do. Or let's say that never came to the United States. What if you were called to be a missionary? And before you say, I would never be a missionary. My wife and I were called in our early 50s. We went to be a missionary. Both of us were like, I don't want to be a missionary. Even when I came to the realization I was called into ministry, well, I ain't going to be a missionary. Well, He called us into missions. Unlike us, what if you were called to be a missionary in a country where Christians were persecuted? You had to hide the Bible, do the secret church thing and all of that. Diana and I have personally known people that have been in those situations over the years. We had a set of friends that had to leave in the middle of the night. Somebody tipped them off because they were going to be arrested and taken to prison. And there are a couple of families that we support here that we can't forward their emails to you or put something up on the bulletin board or wherever, or even say exactly where they are, because they are in danger of experiencing persecution, which would include physical pain because of the gospel of Jesus Christ. So it's not just conceptual. We may not live it ourselves, but we know some people that do. So we're not persecuted here, and so far, unless it happens in this service, none of us have been called to a country like that. That's not saying it won't happen, but so far, no. But still, if you are a person that is dealing with pain all the time, now I'm back to physical pain, not because of persecution, and you've gone through everything, prayer for healing, everything else, all the doctors. And again, I ask you this because it's a hard question. Could it be that God has called you to that pain? That's a tough question, isn't it? Not because he is uncaring or that he's mad at you or he wants to punish you or your faith is less than other people, but because in that pain, he has a greater purpose to it. Now, you may not ever know what the purpose is to this pain until you get to heaven. I don't know. You may never know in this lifetime. You just know you're in pain. Is that possible? I'm asking you. As Christians, we sometimes think about persecution. And I've done this little thought experiment before. Well, what if I was in a situation where I had to renounce Christ, or they're going to chop my head off or do what they're going to do? And we would probably say, yeah, well, if I was persecuted, yeah, I would be willing to suffer. So if you say yes, consider the idea that God may be calling you to physical suffering here, not because of persecution, and maybe you've never thought of that idea before. Jesus did not die on the cross to make you comfortable so you can have the American dream and have a nice life and family and all of that. All those things are good. Jesus didn't die on the cross to make you comfortable. Jesus died on the cross to make you holy, to make you acceptable in the sight of God. Not comfortable, but holy in God's sight. And in this life, if you live long enough, if you haven't already experienced it, you will experience physical pain. And I'm not talking about running into the door that it'll go away in a few days.
Hi, Pastor Jerry here. We had technical difficulties during the recording of this sermon, and so there's a missing gap in it. We're going to pick it up where I was talking about the Apostle Paul and what we're going to read from him. So here it is.
He was a church planter, a missionary. He you know, took the gospel to all the places that God would allow him to go. And Jesus appeared to him directly at one point. So he's a hero of the Bible. He did great things for Jesus, and we still read his writings today in God's Word. And so surely of anyone, Paul's prayers were answered in the way he wanted them to be answered, right? He had is full of faith and did these amazing things, and he was persecuted sometimes. No, his prayers were not answered in the way he wanted every time. So he had been talking in the verses before about a vision he had and that God had shown him some great things. And he was saying, I don't need to be boastful about this. I need to be humble about this. And so I'm picking that up in the discussion. Look at the second part of verse 7 in 2 Corinthians chapter 12. I was given a thorn in my flesh, a messenger from Satan to torment me and keep me from becoming proud. I don't know what that means by thorn in the flesh, but since he says flesh, I think it's a physical problem, and I think most Bible scholars say that. It's a physical problem, but it's unnamed. It's a thorn in the flesh. He uses a euphemism to say that he had some sort of physical problem. Now, there are people that have made a theory or come up with a theory that it was his eyesight because of some things he writes elsewhere in the New Testament. I don't know for sure. Nobody knows for sure. I believe the Holy Spirit led Paul to write it this way. He didn't say, I have a broken leg and I can't walk anymore, or I have this other thing, I'm losing my hearing or my eyesight. We don't know for sure what it is, and so I think the Holy Spirit had him write it this way so that we can relate our pain to this, because that could be your pain. Thorn in the flesh could be your pain. And so Paul didn't get specific there for a reason, Holy Spirit reason. And so I could relate to that. And notice he says, it was Satan that brought the pain on. All pain is directly or indirectly from Satan because of the fallen world we live in. We need to recognize that, but sometimes God doesn't take it away. Now look at verse 8. Three different times I begged the Lord to take it away. He openly begged. I begged the Lord three times, take it away, Lord. And this tells me this wasn't just a backache, but it was something serious. Whatever it was something serious. It was ongoing. And he begged God, take it away. But God didn't. As far as we know, Paul lived with whatever it was for the rest of his life. We're not sure. But he didn't take it away. God could have in an instant, or he could have later. But God left it with Paul. Now let's look at the Lord's response to this prayer. Paul tells us what God told him. First part of verse 9. Each time, so every time I went to him, three times, each time he said, my grace is all you need. My power works best in weakness. Other versions say, my power is perfected in weakness. My grace is all you need, is what he told Paul. You don't need to be healed of this. I'm not going to heal you of it. My power works best when you're weak. That's a tough one to take, right? But that's the answer Paul got. And so have you been there? Can you really relate to this? Some of you can. You're dealing with physical pain. It won't go away, or some other problem that you have. And you've had people pray, lay hands on you, doctors, all of that. And it's good to do those things, seek out those things. But whatever it is remains. It doesn't get better. It doesn't get much better, or something like that. Now, don't check out on me if you're younger and you haven't dealt with this, all right? Stay with me. Because if you've not had this issue, if you live long enough, you will someday, almost certainly. And you can go around, whether it's now or in the future, you can go around wondering, why? What's wrong with my faith and so forth? Or wonder, why is it God nicer to me and he's nicer to other people? Or you can choose to believe on faith that God has heard your prayer. He's heard it loud and clear, and that he is answering it in a way that you really would prefer him not to, but he's answering it in a way for his purposes. And those purposes, again, are you're probably not going to understand in this life. You might, but you don't know. And I know that's hard. I know that is really hard. Let's look at Paul's conclusion. Here's what Paul said to all this in the second part of verse 9, and I think this is extraordinary. Therefore, this is Paul speaking, therefore I will boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses so that Christ's power may rest on me. He's going to boast, he's going to be glad about it, about all his weaknesses, so that Christ's power can be shown, it might rest on him, and he will reflect Jesus even more. So Paul asked, and he got his answer. And he trusted Jesus enough to accept the answer. I'm not saying when you accept God's no, right? I'm not saying that you should be suck it up and be brave. That's kind of our culture, especially for us men. Just be tough about it. That's not what I'm saying. I don't think that's what the word says. But look what Paul did instead, because it's very counterculture to our Western culture. He said he's going to boast about his weaknesses. Look how weak I am. His thorn in the flesh. Look, I'm weak. I can't do this thing that I used to be able to do, whatever it was. But he understood that was so that Christ could work through him in more powerful ways. Now, can you say that? Look how weak I am. I'm bragging about my weaknesses. I'm happy for them because I know Jesus is going to use this for his purposes. Not what we hear in our culture, sometimes even church culture. But that's what Paul did. That was his response to this thorn in the flesh, whatever it was. Look how weak I am, so that you could see how powerful the work of Christ is in me. So Paul had grown enough in his faith to say, look, if Jesus wants me to suffer, bring it on. Bring it on. I'll brag about it. I'll just show how strong Christ is. People won't see me. They'll see Jesus. They'll see the power of Christ in me. Paul really did have that same attitude of Christ that we read about earlier. If God wanted him to suffer, well, then he'll suffer. And maybe you know all of this. Maybe you've heard it in some other way before. But we have to read it and apply it. Read the Bible. Do what it says. It's one thing to stand up here and preach it, but if you're the one going through chronic pain that you know keeps you down, keeps you back, it's a much tougher thing to go through rather than just say, oh, yes, that's the way we should do it. So look, if you're not going through anything right now, nothing serious, it's keeping you from doing the things you do, I praise God with you. That's great, wonderful. But if it comes in the future, and if you live long enough, it will, you need to remember what Paul's response to this. Some of you have lived with pain for a long time, or you know someone that has, and you're close to them, or you may live with it in the future, and I'm not trying to be down and sad and everything. Now, I believe in miraculous healing. I don't know if you do or not, but one of the reasons I believe it is I was the recipient of a miraculous healing 6 years ago in Guatemala. Some of you know that story, some of you don't. But it was a miraculous healing, trust me. But I also believe in the complete sovereignty of God. And for reasons that I am not wise enough to explain to you, sometimes he heals people and sometimes he doesn't. I know many of you here know Martha Yoder. Ray and Martha Yoder, great people. I always enjoy when I go to visit them. And Martha has, if you don't know her, she's stooped over. She can't really walk upright and just constant pain all the time. It's hard for her to get out to do anything. All of the times I've visited them, she has never once complained about her pain. Instead, she talks about Jesus and her faith and so forth. We talk about other things too. But she's never complained. Now, we've talked about it. I've asked her, how's your back doing? Is it getting better, your neck and all of that? But she never complained. She never, you know, sad, why doesn't God heal my pain and so forth. Her faith is intact. It's strong, and I'm quite proud of her, and she's setting a good example for me. So if you do deal with pain now or in the future, I encourage you, look, ask God boldly. Paul did it. Ask him boldly for healing or to lead you to the right medical professional or whatever he wants you to do. Because if you don't ask for a healing, you might be missing out on a healing that he has for you. But he might say no. I don't know. Remember that Paul asked that it be removed, whatever it was, and God said, no, I'm your strength, not your body. I'm your strength. Don't rely on your own strength and ways. So whatever God's answer is, if you're in that situation now or in the future, it's a yes, it's a no, it's a partial yes, but you still have the thing remaining. Look, both answers glorify God. That's why we're here. We're on earth to glorify God. Once we know Jesus, we come to him, we've confessed him as Lord, it's our purpose to glorify him. And when we glorify him, when we lift him up, we are telling other people about Jesus. Now, when you go home to live with Jesus, and I hope you know him. If not, I would love to talk to you. But when you go home, don't forget this. You will be healed. There's a 100% guarantee that you will be healed, if not in this life, in the next life. You're going to get a new body, a recreated body that will never decay, it will never fall apart again, no pain. So, again, if you are not healed here, you will be, I promise, because God promises it in his word. So I want to show you one more verse to keep in mind when we think about this subject. Out of the book of Revelation, almost toward the end of the book. Revelation 21:4. He will wipe every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death, or mourning, or crying, or pain. For the old order of things has passed away. I hope you caught that. He will wipe every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain. For the old order of things has passed away. That's what you have to look forward to if you know Jesus. So if you know him, that's a promise for you. And if you don't know him, you can today. There'll be a prayer team up here in a few minutes, or you can come talk to me today. Contact me this week. My contact information is in the bulletin. He will wipe every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death or crying or mourning or pain. For the old order of things has passed away. Let me pray for us all. Father, there are things we do not understand, but we still trust you with those things. Help us to be more trusting. Help us to understand that this life is but a vapor, as James said, and that our eternity is just that, it's eternity. But Lord, I pray for every person here that is dealing with chronic physical pain. It's not easy. And I pray that you would bring healing, Lord, if that's your will, if you would bring healing. But if it's not, and the healing doesn't come, Lord, let every person trust you with that. And may you use that for your glory, to show your strength. Use our weaknesses for your strength, Lord. I pray these things for all of us, including myself, for all of us, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Amen.